From Psalm 97, we go to Psalm 79 for our meditation today. Please turn there in your Bibles, in your King James, New King James Bibles, and we'll read responsively from Psalm 79.
Psalm 79, a psalm of Asaph. O God, the nations have come into your inheritance. Your holy temple they have defiled. They have laid Jerusalem in heaps. Their blood they have shed like water all around Jerusalem, and there was no one to bury them.
We have become a reproach to our neighbors, a scorn and derision to those who are around us.
How long, Lord, will you be angry forever? Will your jealousy burn like fire? For they have devoured Jacob and laid waste his dwelling place.
Oh, do not remember all your iniquities against us. Let your tender mercies come speedily to meet us, for we have been brought very low.
Help us, O God of our salvation, for the glory of your name, and deliver us and provide atonement for our sins for your name's sake. Let the groaning of the prisoner come before you according to the greatness of your power. Preserve those who are appointed to die.
And to return to my neighbors sevenfold into their bosom, their reproach with which they have reproached you, O Lord.
So we, your people, and sheep of your pasture, will give you thanks forever. We will show forth your praise to all generations. Okay, here in Psalm 79... we have, as I mentioned before, a continuation of the thread that we've been on, the string of psalms that we've been looking at, starting again in verse 75 or 73. Just looking back, over a general spread of what we've been looking at, it's looking at the covenant mercies of God. The people sin, and God disciplines them, and then God rescues them. We saw last week in this very large, long psalm, a history, rehearsing of the history of this, where going into the land of Egypt, coming out of the land of Egypt, the generation in the wilderness, the generation that moved into the land, how they have all sinned, they all rebelled against God, and God, for a time, delivered them into the hands of their enemies, for a time to wander in the wilderness. But through the covenant, because of the covenant, he had mercy on his nation Israel. And the ending of Psalm 78, when he rejected the tent of Joseph, did not choose the tribe of Ephraim, but chose the tribe of Judah, built the sanctuary in Jerusalem, set David as his servant, took him from following the sheep, put him into his king. And we see there a rejoicing that the king that God has appointed is in place, and now all is well. Because now we have a king on the earth here in Jerusalem. And with the king in Jerusalem on the throne set by God, all would be good from now on forever and ever, right? Well, that's what the people thought, some of them. Not the righteous ones, not the holy ones, not the faithful ones. But some of the people thought. And we see where the people started believing that because they had the temple, because they had the throne of God, that they were untouchable. And that as long as they mouthed the name of Jehovah, that no one could do anything against them. And here in Psalm 79, we see that that's not the case. Now, this is well after the time of David, because we see that it talks about the holy temple, not the sanctuary. So we know this is at least Solomon's day later, most likely. And the fact that the temple has been defiled and Jerusalem has been destroyed, we can see this as the first Babylonian attack, when they damaged the temple, raided it, but didn't quite destroy the entire nation. And the people had rested in the fact that they had a son of David on the throne and the temple of God in their midst, and they'd forgotten what that meant to have God in their midst. And we see that the nations have come into the inheritance. The temple had been defiled, Jerusalem destroyed, dead bodies everywhere, given as food to the birds because there was no one left to bury them. And that the people of God, the nation of Israel, specifically the city of Jerusalem, had become a reproach. And all the people around laugh. And we know as we read the history books, the books in the Bible about history, that all the tribes and people around them did laugh after helping the enemy destroy the city. And in verse 5, we've got the big covenantal question. One you've heard me talk about so many times up here. How long, Yahweh or Jehovah, will you be angry forever? Will your jealousy burn like fire? Now, one thing to note, I call this the covenant question. Because unlike many understandings of God, different religions, or even among the Christian church, the question isn't will you? When? Or it's not will you, it's not are you going to. The question is when? How long? There's no doubt that God will take mercy. There's no doubt that God will, in the covenant, rescue His people. But the question is when? How long? The will you be angry forever? Will your jealousy burn like fire? Those are rhetorical questions. The psalmist knows better, of course. Pour out your wrath on the nations that do not know you and on the kingdoms that do not call on your name, for they have devoured Jacob and laid waste his dwelling place. Now they're calling for help. Before they said, God will protect us because He's in the midst. God will protect us because we're His chosen nation. God will protect. And now they're calling for God to rescue. And look, they've changed the reasoning. Oh, do not remember former iniquities. Let your tender mercies come to meet us, for we have been brought very low. Help us, O God of our salvation, for the glory of your name. Deliver us, provide atonement for our sins for your name's sake. They've quit looking at themselves and started looking to God again. Why should the nations say, where is their God? Let there be known among the nations in our sight the avenging of the blood of your servants, which has been shed. So now they've learned not to look to man. The history of the Jewish people, if you look at it really and you pay attention, is them learning one lesson after another. Starting at the beginning when they left, starting from the very beginning. From the fall, on to they wouldn't leave the garden, on to the flood, up to they wouldn't disperse on the earth. All through there, they wouldn't do the next thing that God commanded, and God had to show them what to do next. Here they're learning the lesson again that the king cannot save them. And this is what God had told them during the day of Samuel. That the king, the man king, couldn't help. Now in verse 11, I've stressed in verse 10 when I read it, let the avenging of the blood of your servants, plural there, which has been shed. The next verse says, let the groaning of the prisoner come before you. According to the greatness of your power, preserve those who are appointed to die. Now this is foreshadowing just a little bit what we're going to see in the next psalm. And again, I believe it continues up to the greatness of Psalm 80, the thread, the theme that we're looking at. But it's return to our neighbor sevenfold into their bosom the reproach which they have with which they have reproached you, O Lord. So we, your people, the sheep of your pasture, will give you thanks forever. We will show forth your praise to all generations. It's no longer because they're the blood of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that they're calling for to be saved. They're remembering the blood of the covenant and looking forward to the Messiah. It's in the Messiah that they'll be saved, not in their fathers, but in the one to come. The people have learned a lesson, and we'll see a better prayer, a deeper prayer from the people in the next psalm. And we'll see the same theme continue for several psalms. But now let's sing this one, the second. Sing Psalm 79b.